Happy Mother's Day. So excited that you guys are joining us down. Pastor Ben, the children's pastor here at Bethel Church, and obviously the most qualified person to talk about moms. I have a mom, and I'm married to a mom. That's about it. But we love moms. We're here to celebrate all kinds of moms. We have, of course, the moms that gave birth to us, the moms that raised us, stepmoms, mother-in-laws. So thankful for my mother-in-law. We're recording it, yes. Thankful for adoptive moms, spiritual moms, grandparents who've invested in our lives, really any family member that's invested or any person that has just cared for us, protected us, and looked out for our well-being. I'm just very thankful for those people in my life. There are times, growing up that I can think back to as, such positive memories of my mom, even times when I was away from my mom, other people that stepped up in my life to help take care of me. And that's what we're here to do today. We're here to celebrate those people in our lives who have just been so protective and trusting and hopeful for us and persevering at times. And in order to do this right, I have to share my top 10 mom jokes. So get ready. These are really good, so you should be laughing lots. I want to hear you if you're joining us online. I want to hear you, so really laugh it up. Why is a computer so smart? Because it listens to its motherboard. Why did the cookie cry? Because his mother was away for so long. So. What makes more noise than a child jumping on mommy's bed? Two kids jumping on mommy's bed. Cleaning with kids in the house is like brushing your teeth with Oreos. This Mother's Day, bought my mom a mug that said, "Happy Mother's Day from the world's worst son." I forgot to mail it, but I think she knows. So it's good. I don't want to sleep like a baby. I want to sleep like my husband. Steph did make me put that one in. Nothing is really lost until mom can't find it. That has been true in my house. My mom told me I'd never amount to anything because I procrastinate too much. I just said, "Oh yeah, just you wait." It's going to be good. One housekeeping style that a mom described her housekeeping style as was, "There appears to have been a struggle." And last but not least, "I'm going to donate these bags of clothes to Goodwill, but first I'm going to drive around with them for 4 months in my trunk." Which I don't know if you can relate. But we love moms. Moms are incredible. So thankful for these people that have invested in us. And one of the verses that kind of came to mind was from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about love. I want to read through a portion here. And let's just agree, does this not describe our moms so wonderful? "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." Does that not perfectly describe your mom? Husbands, the correct answer is yes. That does describe your wife. But in truth, we know that mostly describes my mom. At times, right? What I love about this verse is it plays with this idea that, love is patient and love is kind. And sometimes it's very hard, even though you love somebody, to be patient and to be kind. It doesn't at this point say that love is always patient or love is perfectly patient, but that it is. Often we hear scriptures like this, we think of scriptures like this, and we put moms at this upper level, almost like it's an impossible standard to attain. We'll table that. We'll get back to that later for all our moms who are tired of being held at this upper standard. But truthfully, today, moms, you're doing it. You're doing a great job. If you don't feel like this applies to you, you're probably looking at your life through the wrong perspective. Receive that today. God has put you in somebody's life, and he has given you everything you need to care, to love, to protect. In verse 7 of this passage, it says, it, referring to love, always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. That does describe my mom. Not always perfectly, but that does describe my mom. And I gotta be honest with you guys, that also describes a ton of great moms from our Bible. Today, I wanna talk to you about a couple of those moms. The first, way back in the book of Exodus, is Moses' mother. Yes, I'm celebrating the person who put her baby in a basket and kicked it down the river, which I know some of you with 18-year-olds are considering such a move. Here's an inner tube. Whew. Moses' mother actually does have a name in our Bible. It's Jochebed. She was a mother that I believe showed great hope. At the time when she had Moses in Egypt, Pharaoh had made a decree that all Hebrew slave babies should, a male baby should be killed. That was not going to work for her. So she kept Moses for 3 months. The Bible says until she could not keep him any longer. She kept Moses for 3 months. And then what I love is she made a plan. She hoped and hoped, and God absolutely blessed it. It says she put Moses in a basket and covered it with pitch and tar that she knew would float and put it in a place where she hoped that somebody would find it. And of course, as Moses was put in and floated down the river, who should find it but Pharaoh's own daughter, and decides to keep that baby. And then if you know the story, you know that Miriam, Moses' sister, had been following the basket, which I love, God blessing the plan of this mom, who just in the face of an impossible situation never gave up hope for her child, continued to hope, even when it seemed like there was no way that was going to work out. Had hoped and hoped. Miriam follows the basket. She finds Pharaoh's daughter. She goes to Pharaoh's daughter and says, hey, do you want, I know somebody who can nurse this child until it's old enough. And so it goes, Moses goes back to Jochebed, and she actually gets to raise him for a short period of time until he eventually goes off and gets adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Just an incredible story and a good reminder. We can be hopeful. There, I know, are parents, and maybe your child is an adult, maybe your child is young, but you see a situation as impossible. You see a situation that cannot work out for good. Well, I got to tell you, God does that stuff all the time. And have hope. Kindle hope as a mother when you think about these kids or these people that you get to minister to. Kindle that hope. It's important. Another mom that I think gives us a great example of someone who always protects is Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba, many of you may know, but she was a young woman bathing one day, and was spotted by King David. Now, this is a real dark chapter in David's life. He sees Bathsheba. He thinks, wow, she is beautiful. And so he gets somebody to go find out who she is, and then he invites her over to his place. He sleeps with her, and she gets pregnant. Wow, and that's a lot to digest just in that piece of what just happened. But it goes on. Her husband, Bathsheba's husband, was one of David's warriors named Uriah. And Uriah was fighting right now for David in one of their campaigns. And so David invited Uriah to come back. He said, go home, be with your wife. I think trying to cover up this pregnancy. And Uriah refused, saying, everyone that I'm fighting with is not getting to go home. I'm not going to go home until the war is over, until we've done this. So plan B was David puts Uriah in the fiercest spot in the battle, basically knowing that he would die, and Uriah is killed. At this point, all the Bible says is that Bathsheba had a time of mourning and then went and lived with David in the palace. The interesting thing about Bathsheba's story is there's only two mentions of her. That, at this point, when David has done this really horrific thing to her and to her family that she was probably dreaming and hoping about. And then at the very end of David's life, the name comes back up. You see, when David was in his very old age, one of his sons had decided that he should be the next king. So he went, he got a bunch of people around him. He was anointed king by one of the priests. They were sacrificing God to God. The commander of the army had gone with them. And interestingly enough, Bathsheba's son, the one born of David, was named Solomon. Many of you know Solomon does become the next king, right? Bathsheba, we know nothing about her life in between those two points. But man, oh man, when her child needed her most, she was brave, she was courageous, and she made sure that Solomon was going to be protected. Moms, some of maybe need to tone down your protection a little bit, but many of you can relate to this, as we even see it in nature when we think of a grizzly bear. Like, you know, they say one of the most dangerous places in the world is be between a bear and their cubs, a mother bear. It's funny how even animals show this need to protect their young. How important that is as we think about being parents. As you guys think about being moms, how important it is to hope for our kids, never lose hope for your kids, and always protect them, always look out for them. Now, we'll intersect right here because I do have one more biblical story I want to share, but I want to get something for many of you who are like, yeah, I'm not a mom. There are things we can learn from moms, and I can tell you right now, in our world, with the kids who are existing in our world right now, they need people that are going to protect them, and they need people that are going to hope for them. This last one, got to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I love, there's some great stories of Mary and her interactions with Jesus, but she really, to me, shows a mom that trusted. You can roll your eyes at that, because how hard would it be to trust Jesus, right? I've trusted him with my life, but with Mary here, I'm sure that would have been maybe as easy as you might think, but also way more challenging than you might give it credit for. Jesus, a person who often lived in a way that was not what we thought he would do, having to raise that child. We see Mary's trust starting even at the very beginning when, as a virgin, in a society where somebody getting pregnant before marriage was not a good thing at all, she becomes pregnant, visited by the angel Gabriel, who tells her what's conceived in you is from the Holy Spirit. right there, she already started trusting. Trusting that God was going to do something amazing. Trusting that this child was going to be the savior of the world. We see it also playing out when Mary lost Jesus. So mothers, if you ever have a bad day, at least you didn't lose the Son of God like Mary did. It happens. Being a parent is really hard. And this story basically goes as a 12-year-old child, Jesus and his family go to Jerusalem. They celebrate the Passover festival. And then on their way home, they actually get a number of days outside of the city before they realize Jesus wasn't with them. I can't wrap my head around that, but what scholars do believe is that people traveled in caravans for safety reasons going back then, and it very well could have been. They were accustomed to Jesus doing his own thing. Thought, oh, he's probably praying to his heavenly Father right now. We don't need to worry about him. But they realized after 3 days, oh my gosh, he's not here. And they return. They have to return to Jerusalem, and of course, if you know the story, where do they find Jesus? Well, he's in the temple teaching and listening and learning from the Pharisees and the teachers at the time and really astonishing people with the knowledge that he had at such a young age. And Mary has a classic response. She's like, what the heck, Jesus? Do you have any idea what we've been through? And Jesus responds, maybe like a 12-year-old you might know, and says, what do you want from me? I'm in my Father's house. I'm doing my Father's business. And it says she did not smack him, which is incredible right there. That is all I needed to know about Mary as the mother. She's incredible. But what it does say is she began to treasure these things in her heart, that she began to already trust. Even though at times I'm sure Jesus did things that confused her, she began to trust in her child. We all know the importance of having somebody in our lives that believes in us. Maybe especially when we don't really deserve that and people still believe in us. As parents, as moms, let's believe in our kids. I'm not saying if they're lying to you that you have to pretend to trust them. But trust that they're going to figure out life. Trust that God is going to be with them. Moms are amazing. Moms are a literal blessing from God. And for us, I think there is, as I said earlier, there's a lot we can learn from parents, from moms. Reading through this verse, love always protects. It always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. When I think of myself as a parent, I hope that would be said of me. That I protect my kids, that I hope with them, that I trust them, and that I persevere with them. Maybe today, and I know it's Mother's Day, and of course, all mothers should be showered in gifts and creamy lotions and goodies of all kinds. But if the Lord put somebody on your heart today, you may want to reach out to them. Maybe you're thinking of a grandchild. Maybe you're thinking of your own son or daughter or your own mother or father. Maybe you're thinking of a friend. If the Lord put somebody in your mind, reach out to them. They might need to know that there's somebody out there who loves them. And we notoriously, unmistakably, and almost obnoxiously sometimes underestimate the value that we can have on other people. Often we're so close-minded to what is stressing us out and what's going on that we often forget that as simple as sending a text sometimes could change somebody's day. Let them know we're praying for them. Let them know, hey, we care about you. We're thinking about you. Maybe there is someone we can reach out to today. Let's be praying about that. that the Lord would put somebody on our hearts. Also, though, in addition to that, when I think of this next generation, I've only lived 37 years. I know. I look so young. I've only lived 37 years, but I cannot remember a time when the next generation of kids has gone through as much as these kids have. They need a church that is going to always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. Now, you may not know a lot of young people. Let me introduce you to some. We're always looking for signups in children's ministry, in youth ministry. If you forgot to get mom a Mother's Day gift, husband, you can say, hey, I'm going to serve. You don't have to serve. That's my gift to you. No, we want everyone to serve. But our kids need that. I can't even tell you all the studies and reports I've read. I just read one last week that was from the New York Times and was mentioning the final research has been done, and they have determined that closing the schools was a bad idea. What? Oh, I didn't know. All the homeschool parents are like, we were out of here years ago. Right. Closing these schools has not only disproportionately affected certain demographics in the U.S., but it has also harmed just a whole group. I mean, my daughter was in kindergarten, and she had to learn how to read now, missing half of her kindergarten year and basically her entire first grade year. There are a lot of kids out there who are struggling. I had the blessing to be the youth pastor here at Bethel for 9 months. That was all I could take. And I said, you need to hire someone. So we hired Pastor Daniel, which was great. But in that time, it was every week we were praying for students who were frustrated because they were flunking multiple classes. And that's a weight that these kids are wearing. My wife is a counselor at a middle school in Central Point, and she is blown away by the burdens that these kids are carrying. Blown away by the burdens that this next generation is working through. It's kind of amazing to her. She sees a lot of kids in that, 11, 12 to 15 age group, and they are 100% still wearing their masks, which has absolutely nothing to do with the coronavirus, because she could get on board with that. If you want to be safe, or you know somebody at home and you think this is good, I'm on with that. It has nothing to do with that. They don't want anyone to see them. I promised myself I was going to get through this, Larry. All right. They don't want to let anybody see them smile. They don't want to let other people know who they are, so they're wearing the mask to cover themselves up. And because it's become more popular now, it's not recognized as a weird thing to do, so they can do that. What a detriment, right? What a detriment on the soul of that child who's now trying to navigate life with all that extra burden on him. We get the opportunity every week to minister to kids. And in truth, I'm so thankful for that, because we get to walk hand in hand with these kids. And it's not only here. This summer, we are going to Cuenca, Ecuador. And it is going to be an amazing trip. Please come to our lunch coming up in 2 weekends, May 22nd after church. You'll get to hear more about the trip. But talking to the missionaries there, oh yeah, their kids are going through a lot of the same stuff. And we're going to have an opportunity to minister there with a message similar to as we got to take communion today. Remind these kids and these pastors and leaders over there, God loves you so much. It's not about what you've been through. It's not about what you've done. It's about his love, and it is unbelievable. So I want to invite the worship team to come back up. We're going to close today in a song, but before I do that, I do want to pray. I want to pray and thank God for our moms who are just incredible, and I want to pray for this next generation. I invite you to pray with me today, but please continue to pray for them. This is a struggle that is not going to be solved without Jesus. And it's not going to be solved without some solid adult in their life who are speaking truth to them. And so I want to pray for that. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for moms. God, where would our world be without moms? Well, certainly I would not be dressed like this today if it was not for my mom. I thank you that you've given us these people to help protect and hope and trust and persevere with us. God, I pray you would bless the moms of this church. All types too, Lord. We do lift up our next generation to you. Lord, they need you. They need you so much. God, it is going to be a move of your spirit to help heal some of the wounds that these kids have gone through. The confusion about their own identities and who they are. God, we just pray that your spirit would move and that, God, you would call us as a church to minister. Call us to reach out to those who need you today, Lord. We know your goodness is great. We know a touch from you can change everything. So we pray that for this next generation here in Medford, here in this valley, here in this church. Lord, that your love would be spoken over us and that we would all receive your love today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can stay seated or stand, but we're going to worship the Lord.